In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. While it is not always my particular predilection to comment on things that are happening in society and culture, it seems meet and just to pause for a moment and to reflect on what it is that happened this past Friday on the Feast of Our Lord's Most Sacred Heart. The nation righted a wrong that it had committed over 50 years ago and has hopefully set this nation on a course to repair itself and to heal itself. The scourge of abortion as a national reality has come to an end. We might be then tempted to think that we are successful and we have done all the good work that needs to be done, but sadly, nothing could be further from the truth. For although indeed a great deed has been accomplished, and let's be very clear, it has been accomplished through the power of prayer, an intercession of the Lord's Sacred Heart, the intervention of the angels and the saints, the various politicians and justices and all those who have worked diligently to see the eradication of legalized abortion have been instruments in the hand of God. And they have been so moved and motivated precisely because they have been directed by prayer. They have been moved by prayer. All the more reason for us to continue to be men and women of fervent prayer. But there is more work that still needs to be done. And if indeed you have been following as the news has reported, you would understand that somehow, at least for the dominant culture, for the leftist agenda, the world turned itself upside down. And evil now has come into our nation. We are now the scourge of mankind. We are an embarrassment on the national stage. They couch it in terms of freedom, but really it's about death and destruction. They speak about the rights that are existing when there is no right to kill or to destroy another. And while the laws have changed, the hearts of men have become even harder and more difficult to move. All the more reason for us then to be more diligent in the work that still needs to be done. And there are some who wisely realize that this is indeed the first step of repairing a whole host of things that this nation has done to itself to unmoor itself from its foundations. The contraceptive mentality and the reality of contraception that has done irrevocable damage to family life, something with which we contend that in one way is more insidious than abortion, precisely because no one seems to realize exactly how insidious it actually is. That reality has led to this whole proliferation of the homosexualist agenda that has led to transgenderism that is going to lead to what comes next. I do not know what, but there will be something more that we will be asked to confront. We might be tempted to then rest on our laurels. And I'm certainly not encouraging us not to celebrate and to rejoice at what is indeed a great victory. But the transformation of hearts is much more difficult than the transformation of behaviors. On top of which, we have now states that will see themselves as a place of solace for those who wish to come and destroy their children in the womb. The divisions that existed before will continue to exist and now become even more stark and serious for us. But, brothers and sisters, knowing this is backdrop and knowing this is reality, we must continue to be men and women of prayer and also men and women of gratitude, because indeed a great thing has happened, and it is because of God's grace that indeed it has happened. How many of us have devoted ourselves in the privacy of our prayer for the eradication of abortion? How many have journeyed to Washington, D.C. year after year in order to make manifest both to our elected officials and to the justices who were on the court at that time, and indeed to the whole nation, that there were voices crying out in the wilderness for the defense of life? How many rosaries have been said? How many sacrifices of the Holy Mass have been offered? How many intercessory prayers have been lifted up to God so that we could have this day? And if we continue to move forward and not pause and give him thanks, then we become churlish and selfish. And then we also miss the fact that it was precisely because of the power of prayer that brought us to this point. Might it take us another 50, 60, 100 years for hearts to be transformed? Indeed, it might. But we operate not on our own time or our own schedule. We operate on the providence of God. We allow God's work to unfold as He sees fit. And we ourselves then become instruments as He wills it to be. What this requires of us is a steadfastness. It requires constancy, intentionality, and deliberateness. We must continue the course. So we rejoice, yes, and we recognize that there is more work to be done. But if we ask ourselves, what must I do differently? In truth, the answer is nothing. Continue to do what it is that you are doing. Be men and women of prayer. Live your Catholic lives deliberately and intentionally, knowing that now Satan was going to really rear his head because he has had this loss. And so he will double down and come after us even more intensely. It was recommended to the clergy of the archdiocese that we refrain from being in public in any way in our collars, lest we become a sign for people to come and attack us. My response, since I am always pugnacious and looking for a good fight, was to say, I will be even more public in who I am and what it is that I am about. And I encourage all of you to be the same. We don't invite violence. We don't want violence. But nor are we afraid of what men can do to us, because we have confidence that we are in the hands of God. Either we believe this and live accordingly and our lives and are governed by these truths, or we must cower in fear at what might happen to us because people are angry that they can no longer kill and destroy human life. We will continue to stand up. We will continue to be visible voices, those certainly who are the underdogs and the disenfranchised, but most importantly, we will always be the voice for truth, wherever and whenever we are called to witness. And if that means we must suffer for it, we rejoice and are glad that we have been found worthy to suffer in the name of the Lord. And we care little to nothing about what men can do to us, only concerned that we give fitting glory and praise to God. So rejoice and give thanks. Sing Te Deum and hymns to God for what it is that He's accomplished in our nation, but rededicate yourself to the ongoing work of the transformation of men's hearts. Remember that the goal that rests before us, as it always has been and always will be until it is accomplished, is not only that all men believe in Christ, but that all men be Catholic in the practice of their faith and the manner in which they live their lives. There is work for us to be done, but God, who has brought all things to fruition in goodness, will continue to use us as He sees fit. Let us give Him thanks and pledge ourselves to be instruments for the transformation of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.